Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we preview two arts events in downtown Tulsa for tomorrow evening. The Tulsa Symphony will conclude its season with a concert they call Inside Out, and Living Arts is bringing contemporary dance troupes from around the area together for a site-specific dance event, the third annual Emerge Dance Festival, which will take place in the tunnels, yes, the tunnels of downtown Tulsa. We'll hear about that a little later. First, our guest today is the principal cellist of the Tulsa Symphony, and due to the unique model of the TSO, where many of the musicians play executive roles as well, she's also the board president of the organization, Kari Caldwell. She'll be stepping into yet a third role Saturday evening as soloist in Richard Strauss's Don Quixote. Gerhard Zimmerman will conduct a program which also feature Jennifer Higdon's Blue Cathedrals and the Haydn Symphony No. 88. That takes place tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Chapman Music Hall. The Inside Out part of the concert refers to the fact that the orchestra will also be simulcasting the concert to Guthrie Green for anyone to listen free of charge. Kari Caldwell joins us today to talk about Richard Strauss, Don Quixote, and the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra. Kari Caldwell, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to hearing the Don Quixote this week by Richard Strauss. And this is one of those great cello works. Have you performed it before?
I have performed it, but I've performed it within the orchestra because so often it's performed with guest cellists and guest soloists.
I know one of the hallmarks of the Tulsa Symphony is you're trying to present members of your own orchestra in that soloist role. Was that how this came about, where you're going to do the solo?
It is. One of the things that we consider to be our calling card is that we like to think of the musicians as being the face of the orchestra. And so each year we've been trying to feature one of the performers in the orchestra, and my turn came up this year.
Are you excited about playing this? Obviously you are.
I'm excited about it. It's daunting. It's a big, big work. It's 40 minutes long, and it's got a lot of difficult things. And,
yeah.
You know, it's a great piece. Wonderful.
And, of course, the way Richard Strauss wrote this piece, you're basically inhabiting Don Quixote.
That's right. The cello represents Don Quixote.
Now, as a part of preparing for this, do you go back and read Cervantes? Do you read Richard Strauss's copious notes that he wrote about each variation? Because, you know, you're basically depicting various episodes from the book. He's very faithful to the book in many ways.
Yes. And I have tried to do all the above besides the practicing. And that would, you know, in my case, because I read the book, but it was a long time ago, I kind of have reviewed through some cliff notes, to be honest, and also, of course, Don Quixote titles, the variations, and you know what episode you're in when you're there.
Give us a sense of how he titles the episodes, for example.
Well, it's done in the form of theme and variations, although it's a tone poem, but I know German, but I'm not going to bring that tedium to you. So, for example, the introduction says, Don Quixote goes crazy after reading novels about knight history, and he decides to become a knight errant.
Yes.
The first variation is the one where he fights the windmills, and you have the love of Dulcinea and, of course, the principal violist, and occasionally the tenor tuba represent Sancho Panza.
Yeah, Sancho Panza is a very interesting juxtaposition of those two instruments to represent.
It is, actually, yes.
Now, is there lots of points where you're in dialogue with that combination of instruments?
Sancho Panza's viola role is very prominent at the beginning of the piece, and then Don Quixote kind of takes on a life of his own, and there is definitely dialogue, and there are things that are played together. But Jeff Cowan, who plays the viola, has a lot to play, particularly in the first part of the piece.
Yeah. What was most daunting about doing this particular piece for you? It is a great piece. It's one of the staples of the cello repertoire. What was the thing that really was the most challenging about this piece for you?
One of the most exciting things about it is that it's a huge orchestral work. There's not an instrument, there's not a principal in the orchestra that doesn't have a major role in the piece, and it's just a great orchestral moment. But also, the cello part is beautiful, melodic, and very exciting, and it's something that I hadn't done before in the solo role, so it was a challenge too.
Yeah. You know, as a principal cellist, you're used to those moments where you're out there to shine, but a concerto is a little different animal. How do you go about preparing for a big solo like something like this?
You know, it's really not any different from all the other preparations in terms of that. You're going to spend more time really knowing what you're representing, although, you know, as orchestral players, that's our goal, but it doesn't happen as dutifully as it would if you're, you know, the soloist in front of the orchestra. But also, you got to allot a little more time because there's more there. But every orchestra concert's challenging. Every cello part seems to be challenging. You know, having done lots of chamber music, I find that that's the same thing.
Now, in the case of Don Quixote, you have this elaborate program. And I know sometimes when playing programmatic music, sometimes the program makes sense, sometimes it doesn't make sense. It seems to make sense in this particular, I mean, because he's really doing a musical depiction. I mean, where there are bleeding sheep in the orchestra.
You can hear the sheep. Yes, it's true. It's very true to the story. And I think it's pretty obvious, really, to even a person who doesn't know the work that well. And it is beautiful. It's just got so many beautiful moments in it.
Well, let's hear a little music from Don Quixote. This is from the music of Richard Strauss. The Tulsa Symphony Orchestra will be presenting Don Quixote with my guest today, principal cellist Kari Caldwell, along with works by Higdon and Haydn, with guest conductor Gerhard Zimmerman, this Saturday night. And here's music from Don Quixote. That's music by Richard Strauss from Don Quixote. My guest today, principal cellist Kari Caldwell of the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra, will be performing that work with the orchestra this Saturday night in a program titled Inside Out. And this Inside Out actually has something to do about the way you're presenting this particular program, because not only are people going to the Chapman Music Hall, but you're doing a bit of really serious outreach for the orchestra by broadcasting the concert live at the Guthrie Green.
That's true. As you know, we are now in our office space that's right amidst
right across the street.
Art crawl and across the street from the Guthrie Green. We are in the fly loft area above the Woody Guthrie Center. And so we're amidst all of that growth and happening. And one of the things that we have now done since the beginning of the Guthrie Green, we actually, I think, opened it in September of 2012 with a concert. And as you know, the things that happen at the Guthrie Green are free and open to the public. So it's a great opportunity for people who maybe haven't heard an orchestra before or who have little kids and they don't necessarily have the funds to get a babysitter and tickets to a concert. They can just go and sit and relax. Our concerts that we've done in September have been extravaganzas with, you know, the 1812 Overture and exciting outdoor music plus fireworks at the end. And this time we are essentially bringing the inside of the concert hall out to the Guthrie Green.
Do you think this will be something you might do once a year or once every couple of years? As just sort of a way of connecting with the community?
I would like to. It's, you know, everything a nonprofit organization does is always about finding those funders who want to help us put these things on, because it's a great thing to do, and I think the city of Tulsa benefits from all of these events.
Now, the interesting thing about the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra is you have an awful lot of musicians who are involved in the running of the orchestra, the day-to-day, as well as, in your case, the management of the orchestra. You're the board president at this particular point.
I am the board president. I have served on the board since the inception of the orchestra, and we're in our eighth season now, and we're working to incorporate musician input into all aspects of the running of the orchestra. So this was the next step, trying to have a musician in there who's the president of the board. Mm-hmm. So my term will come to an end at the end of June, and it's been a busy 2 years, very busy. But it's been challenging, and it's been good for me, and I've learned a lot from it.
What has been the learning process for the musicians themselves being the people responsible for running the orchestra? I assume it's been a great learning experience, but at the same time, the orchestra probably feels like it has more control of its destiny.
I hope that's the case. I think it is. And, we've worked hard to try to make that happen. We always had musicians on staff because we had a personnel manager and we had an orchestra manager, and we would have an operations person who often was related to the musical output. But we are trying very hard when we hire staff to include musicians whenever we possibly can. And I think that they've done a good job, and we've had a large representation on board and all of our committees from our musicians. And the musicians have been great to give their time and their efforts to try to make this happen and to work with this innovative concept.
Now, there's a mixed record of musicians running orchestras. Some have run really well, like you look at the Royal Philharmonic in London, but some have had problems. Some have, I think the Colorado Symphony at one point was musician run as well. I'm trying to remember some of the others. You feel like you've sort of got through the learning curve and now the symphony is going to be growing, or is it still always a challenge to have a symphony orchestra in a community?
I think that we are doing many, many exciting things, and I think we are growing. We have some wonderful things that a lot of people don't know about, which is we have a partnership with the Cancer Treatment Center where we go out and play concerts there. We have another partnership with the VA Hospital in Muskogee, and we go out there and with smaller groups and perform there for the veterans. And we also have partnerships with many schools. And so we're doing a lot of really interesting things. And as you know from, you're in the middle of your fund drive right now.
Yeah.
With public radio, we are in the very same boat in that we are very dependent on the generosity of people who care and are devoted to the production and facilitation of classical music and all that involves to not just pay salaries, but pay for the lights to go on in an office and for, the programs to be printed. And so all those things are a part of the big picture, and we're excited about where we're going to head and where we're going.
Well, I think it's really outstanding that you're going to broadcast basically this concert for free out in the park as it happens Saturday night. And this sort of gets back to your space. You have this wonderful space on the second floor in this arts complex. I know you've already done some small group events in the space. Is the plan now, as you get used to this space, to use it more for actual events, or is it always going to be rehearsal space for the most part?
We have done our chamber music series in that space this year, and it's a wonderful place to play, and I think some people have really enjoyed the fact that it's there in the middle of this bustling area.
Yeah, you're kind of like on the inside because
Absolutely. You're
where the music happens normally.
The only drawback is that if you have a Friday night concert, sometimes it can be a challenge to find a parking place. And so I think we all have to figure out the whole trolley deal and how to catch that from maybe another location. But it's wonderful to be there. We do our first, for example, last night we rehearsed up in one of those spaces. There's actually three performance spaces up there, and they are used for many things, dance and other rehearsals, and we're going to be rehearsing there, and then we'll move to the PAC, of course, tomorrow night. But it's an exciting place to have, and we want to use it as often as we can.
All right. Well, congratulations on the 2 years as the board president. I think the symphony is going great. And, of course, we look forward to your performance Saturday night in Don Quixote with the Tulsa Symphony.
Kari, thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us.
Right.
Principal cellist and board president of the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra, Kari Caldwell, speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. She'll be the soloist in Richard Strauss's Don Quixote, one of three works to be conducted by Gerhard Zimmerman by the Tulsa Symphony in their program titled Inside Out tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the Chapman Music Hall of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. It will also be simulcast to the Guthrie Green as well. Well, from the Chapman Music Hall to the nearby tunnels in downtown Tulsa, that will be the site for a special event Saturday night, the third annual Emerge Dance Festival. I'm joined by Jennifer Alden, the co-founder and co-artistic director of Portico Dance Theater, one of several contemporary groups participating. Jennifer Alden, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
As a co-artistic director and founder of Portico Dance Theater, you've been part of this big revival of contemporary dance in our city. This weekend marks the Emerge Dance Festival, which is, I guess, the third year for this.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Emerge.
Emerge kind of came from an idea that we wanted to get all of the dance companies and choreographers locally together to do a performance together. And we really wanted to focus on site-specific works, which means you go into a place, maybe a building or a tunnel, and you look at that space, you look at the history of that space, you look at the architecture of that space, and you decide from there how you're going to create a work.
Mm-hmm. Now, first of all, in Tulsa, in all of the arts and cultural communities, there's like this incredible, because I think resources are sometimes scant for the groups, there's this rivalry between them. How do you get everybody to come together?
Well, I think for dance, we're very collaborative. We have to be. If you're not, then you're not going to thrive. So I think that's what this is all about. I think really the dance committee of Living Arts, that's what that committee is about, is bringing together people from different dance companies and dance groups together to really work on a project together. I think this kind of a festival helps with that, is bringing us all together as a community.
I think it's a great idea. You're, again, a site-specific creation, and in this case, it is in the tunnels of downtown Tulsa. Now, that might come as a surprise to a lot of people, but in fact, in some of the central core downtown buildings, there is a tunnel system that goes from one building to another. And I was reading about this, and I was really surprised to realize that one of the reasons this tunnel system existed, because you think about it, you know, okay, it rains sometimes, but, you know, it's not like it's 20 degrees below zero up in the north, where they have tunnel systems, is because of the fear of kidnapping in the 1920s, before the FBI and kidnapping was a federal crime. The big crime was to grab a wealthy guy and hold him for ransom. So that was part of the reason, is just keep him off the streets.
Exactly. Yes. There's several different reasons. And our tour guides who take you through the tunnels will explain these different reasons for having the tunnels. But that's definitely one of the reasons.
So what was the attraction of doing a dance piece in the tunnels?
I think for me, it's just a different space. Gives you a different idea and lends to, I think, different choreography and a different way of thinking of dance, because you're not in a proscenium theater. You're in a space that's underground.
And you're also in a pretty confined space.
You are.
Opposed to an outdoor space where it's very spacious.
Yeah, so all of those things can lend to just a different way of thinking about dance and creating a work.
So now you have all the different choreographers and members of dance companies coming together for this piece. Are you interspersing dancers, or is it more of Portico will do a piece, somebody else in the group of dancers will do a piece, or both?
It's both. Portico has a piece with also some Portico dancers in other pieces. Myself, I'm in another piece with Nina Mattson, and so that's how each one of them are. Is there's actually, we have some groups coming from Oklahoma City, and their dancers, some of them are in one piece and some of them are in another piece. So it's all share.
That's a great thing. So give us a sense of what you will see when you show up for this. It is in the tunnels, and it's going to mainly be between the Kennedy Building and the Mid-Continent Building on Boston between underneath 4th Street, basically.
Yeah, it's 2nd and 4th.
Yeah, 2nd and 4th.
So what will happen is hopefully you'll come a little early. Hopefully you've gotten tickets pre-merge because they're almost sold out, actually. And you'll come into the Hyatt, and we'll have a staging area there. And we're in collaboration with The Outlet, who has planned a great party, a pre-party. So you can come in there and enjoy a drink and some exhibitors. And then at your tunnel time, it's very sharp. at your tunnel, specific tunnel time, we only are allowed to bring 20 people through the tunnels at a time. So each group will come through the tunnels every 15 minutes, and you'll basically go down underground, and there's different stops in which your tour guide will talk to you a little bit about the history of the tunnels, and then you'll get to see 8 different dance works as you progress through the tunnel.
So it's kind of like a buffet in a way.
It is like a buffet. You get a little bit of everything.
So it's very important to get tickets in advance.
It is.
And, you know, your tour leaves at 7:15 and you go take a walk through it. Now, will the audience participants sort of be intermersed with the dance? Because the only times I've been down in the tunnels, I didn't really see them as like big wide boulevards or anything. I mean, where you could actually sit and watch something. It seems like if something like that was happening, you'd be immersed in it.
You will be a little bit immersed in it. Yeah, I think that's how each one was created, so that can happen as well. So it should be really, really interesting and fun and new.
Well, now tell me a little bit about what Portico is doing. Where are you stationed? And give us a sense of what your piece is about.
We're stationed, we're the first station, actually. And
where is that?
It's right at the beginning of the tunnels, which is right as you come out of the Hyatt into the Pack Garage or the Hyatt Garage, depending on which one you want to say. And you open these glass doors, and as soon as you open the glass doors, there will be a performance happening right as you enter the glass doors. And there is a little incline that happens right after you get through those glass doors. So it was a really interesting experience to choreograph something that you know there's going to be an incline to the stage, in quotes.
Well, it's funny, you know, you have the old rake stages where
but
it's probably a little bit steeper than that.
Yeah. And, you know, the floor is a little bit different than having a Marley floor. It's, you know, this tile. And the ceiling is a little bit lower than we would normally have, so... It's been really interesting, and our piece is kind of about mobs and what happens with the difference between a leader and what happens when a mob forms. So,
Now, low ceilings, that's a big issue. I mean, if you're doing like, you know, lifting movements, you know, you could be putting somebody through an acoustical tile.
Right. Exactly. So all of those things the choreographer has to think about when they're making a piece. There's another piece done by Jessica Voken, Alicia Cheshire, and Rachel Bruce Johnson, where they have a very narrow, very, very narrow pathway. So they're doing their whole piece almost up against the wall because they have to. And again, the ceilings are very, you know, low, and there's tile on the walls and the floor, so... Again, a different way of thinking about how you're going to make a work.
Now, how long will the tour, I guess you could call it almost like a tour, go? Is it about an hour,
Yes, it's about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on, you know, how much the stops will take, if people want longer to talk about the history. So about 45 minutes to an hour.
Now, are you working with the Historical Society and all as far as telling the history of the tunnels or some sort of curatorial?
Yeah, some of the guides have worked.
From the downtown
tours. Exactly. So they're all volunteers, but they're all very, very knowledgeable about the history, and we're excited to have them.
Now, give us a sense of the various... choreographers that'll be involved with it. Are you doing a piece?
Yes, Portico is doing a piece. There's a duet by Nina Mattson. Like I said, Jessica Voken, who's actually a professor here at TU.
University of Tulsa.
Rachel Bush Johnson from the Bell House Arts. Alicia Cheshire, who's from TUM. We have two coming from Oklahoma City, Maggie Boyette and Kira Blazak. Amy Morrow, she's from all over, but sometimes she sits herself here in Tulsa, which we love. She's doing a piece, and there's also actually a student from the University of Tulsa who's doing a piece, Anna Bennett.
All right, so it sounds like there's a pretty good sizable community of choreographers doing contemporary dance.
Yes.
Now, one of the things I wanted to talk with you is, you know, there seems to be a real growing movement of contemporary dance here, and I remember gosh, about 15 years ago or something, some very prominent people in the arts said that basically contemporary dance was box office poison. They shouldn't bring it in. And if you look at what Corgis is doing, they're bringing in contemporary dance. Contemporary dance are coming through the PAC. They're coming in from all places. It seems like there's really a growing movement of this. What do you think is spurring this?
I think it's a couple of things. I think it's just knowledge of what it is.
I think Corgis itself has helped a lot because they brought in these really, really,
yes.
And Living Arts over the years,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Living Arts, I think Corgis, even Tulsa Ballet is bringing in.
Yes.
They have their own festival, which a lot of us participate in, bringing in contemporary dance and ballet. So you can see what that means. A lot of people, I think, were afraid of it because they didn't have that knowledge or that education of what it was. And I think the more people that see it really enjoy it and love it.
And that's the interesting thing is that there used to be a big divide between ballet and contemporary dance, and that seems to be disappearing very quickly. And Tulsa Ballet is very much, while they're not involved in this, they're very much involved and supportive of just dance in Tulsa, making sure that dance thrives.
Yes, they're very supportive of all of us. They host a local contemporary dance.
Well, they have their own little thing
where
contemporary companies,
companies come in and show our work to their audiences. And that's been great for us, just for people to see who we are and what we do.
My guest today is Jennifer Alden. She's the co-founder and co-artistic director of Portico Dance Theater and also the chair of Living Arts new dance committee, which is presenting the Emerge Dance Festival this Saturday night at 7 to 9. It sounds like you should get your tickets at livingarts.org quickly because it's almost sold out. It's titled Submerged, Moving in Tulsa Tunnels, and it will feature about 8 or 9 different works along the route of the downtown underground tunnels, which might be news to a lot of people, basically from, I think you can go underground from 5th and Boston down to 1st and Main, basically. Mm-hmm. And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Now, this is the third year of Emerge. Give us a sense of what they've all been site-specific. What have you done before?
Before this, our first one was in West Tulsa, right by the train and the big oil derrick.
Uh-huh.
So we did pieces kind of along West Tulsa area. And then last year we actually did it at Living Arts because they had an exhibit called Lumination, where they had all of these chandeliers. So each piece was around kind of these chandeliers. And then this one, of course, is in the Tulsa Tunnels. So,
well, it sounds like it's really growing and gathering momentum.
Yes, I think each time we try to do something new and fresh, and I think that's what Living Arts is all about, is they say it's art that makes you talk. So we really want to make sure that, you know, each time is something fresh, new, something you haven't seen before, something that's definitely contemporary, maybe future-making, and that's our goal.
Uh-huh. Well, It sounds like it's a great program. It's going to be really interesting. Is there something about doing something on at a site-specific location that connects with people in a different way than, say, in a traditional theater?
I think so. You're definitely closer in proximity, and so you can see them right in front of you, interact with them even if you're not touching them, and having them be a part of that experience with you. So I think for me, it's something I enjoy doing.
What's that experience for a dancer?
For some dancers, it's scary. They don't necessarily like it because some dancers like to have that wall between the audience and the dancer. But I think a lot of them really enjoy the experience, having that connection with the audience.
All right. Well, we wish you great success with Emerge. The third year takes place this Saturday night at 7 o'clock in the tunnels of downtown Tulsa, Submerged, Moving in the Tulsa Tunnels. Jennifer, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jennifer Alden is the chair of Living Arts' new dance committee and one of the participants in the Emerge Dance Festival, Submerged, Moving in the Tulsa Tunnels, takes place tomorrow evening at 7. Information at livingarts.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. If the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra and the Emerge Dance Festival wasn't enough, the Signature Symphony at TCC will say farewell to Barry Epperly in his last regular season concert. Tomorrow night at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center for Education, playing the Mahler Symphony No. 2. And we're going to leave you with that here on Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.